Hello once more. Back with another episode of What Page Are You On? It me, Bethany Rutter. Who are you?
It me, Alice Slater. And we're joined by our clown from the same circus.
It you, Jordan Taylor-Giant.
Hello, I'm back.
We won't get Jordan to introduce himself again because you don't deserve it if you didn't listen to the last episode where we've already introduced Jordan, who tragically not a permanent addition to the lads
that they know of.
Not yet but has done the last episode and this episode with us. So last episode we were, as you know, because you've already listened to it, because everyone listens to 100% of episodes, looking back on our favorite books of 2019. Today we are thinking about the future.
We're looking forward with our 2020 vision. Oh god, I hate myself for saying that,
and yet we love it. So yeah, we're just thinking about a few books that we either have already read that are coming out this year, or we haven't read that we're still hyped about.
Yeah, we're just going to be like loosey-goosey. We will have like a little list. We don't know what each other have got down. My list, obviously, is in chronological order of release.
Wow.
I know, what a nerd.
But I do that as well. So at the start of last year and this year, I spent about an hour to 2 hours going through like catalogues, websites, and just in a spreadsheet did a list of like what I'm looking forward to.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. probably 80% just what I want to buy and ask for birthday and things like that. 20% because it helps me understand maybe potential events with some of the authors I'm looking after as well.
Yeah,
and just
yeah.
to get a sense of like where I guess the authors I'm looking after fall in relation to other titles that they maybe are speaking to or would be interested in working
Good
with.
To know.
So yeah, it's useful.
I don't do this because
you have
Alice
a life.
Does it for me.
Yeah.
No, it's literally because I don't need to.
You've got a PA.
Yeah, I have Alice. Jordan, as our guest, would you like to tell us about something you're looking forward to? Either something you've read, something you haven't read?
Yeah, so all the ones I've sort of been thinking about to talk about are stuff I haven't read, actually. I thought it'd be nice.
Cool,
excited
yeah.
for stuff, but I don't think any of them are debut, so they're authors I've read before at least, and aside from one actually that I'm really into. So the first would be Made in Satin by Rita Indiana. Of any of you,
I don't know Rita Indiana.
So she, I think it's she. Apologies if not. Wrote Tentacle,
yes.
which came out last January. Last January actually. By And Other Stories, which is a really interesting Latin American novel, which kind of explores like gender and sexual identities, and it's kind of a bit genre and would fall more in kind of fantasy sci-fi categories.
The internet loved it. I felt like it was quite a buzzy book.
It was fucking great, and I think I read it as soon as it came out, sort of last January, and I remember thinking this is amazing because it's speaking from all different kind of angles that maybe don't necessarily intersect a lot of the time. So Rita has another novel coming out called Made in Satin. I don't know a huge amount about it. I'm very excited to see it. And I think it's out later this month, late out in January. So that's top of my list, I think, for 2020.
Really nice choice. Well
yeah,
done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thanks. Champion of small press, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just looks stellar.
You've earned your place at the table today,
Thanks,
Jordan.
Mate.
Thanks. Alice, hit me.
Okay, so I'm going to pick a really obvious one. I'm just going to get it out the way. I've
because
already read it.
We love it. We love it. I know what you're going
to do. You?
You
haven't read it yet.
Oh, I thought you were going to go for your boy.
Who's my boy?
Your Dark Vanessa.
Oh. Well, we can do that. My Dark Vanessa.
No.
It's not what I was going to say. You'll have
no.
to...
We'll come back to that.
We'll come back to it. We'll cycle around. I won't forget. My Dark Vanessa is one that, like, I read an early proof. It's the Fourth Estate's like hero title, written by Kate Elizabeth Russell. It's going to be absolutely massive. Have you read it yet, Jordan?
I've not read it. I've heard mainly great things about it.
Yeah.
Lots of it from you, Alice. And I just think the campaign for it's been great. The cover is so striking.
Stunning.
And I remember, I think on the last episode you were talking about, I think you mentioned having read it like last year or early last year or the year before and saying it feels it's everywhere. I think you mentioned it to me like about a year ago, and I remember going into Foyles and asking someone, like, is it not out yet? And I'm like,
well great.
God damn it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, so, it's been like a big build up.
Yeah.
And my favourite Kate Elizabeth Russell fact that I know Bethany knows but you may not know, Jordan, My Dark Vanessa got rejected by like 60 agents.
Wow.
It took her 60 goes to get representation.
An agent. Yeah. Not even a publisher.
Do you think it's fear of the subject matter?
No, or... I think, like, I do... So I have since found out that there were rewrites between each, like, go.
Yeah.
Maybe not between every single go, but I think that what changed was that Me Too happened, and she reframed the novel just slightly. It was always about the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but she just, like, tilted the present day stuff with Me Too in mind, which obviously then made it like super
grabby,
relevant. It's talking about an aspect of like sexual assault that is quite difficult to talk about because no one wants to talk about.
So what it's about is about the relationship, we'll call it that, between like a 15-year-old girl and her adult male teacher.
And crucially, the main character does not feel as an adult. Like, it skips between her 15-year-old self and her adult self. She never feels as though that relationship was wrong. So which it's I think a really edgy approach to such a kind of quite obviously like uncomfortable situation. It's a brave book, and I think some people might find it difficult, but I think what she's doing is starting a conversation and I just think telling a great story at the same time.
Interesting questions about that as a concept is like, what do we do with stories about stuff that are culturally recognized as being wrong and bad, where the protagonist of that story does not recognize that themselves? Like, as in, not just because they don't see it, but they genuinely just don't, they don't agree. I feel like that's such an interesting question that I will always be interested in reading about.
And I think fiction is really, I think, the only, the best, let's say, the most organic place you can explore these subject matters. And I think it's a great place to explore these topics. And I'm always interested in, particularly, it's always good read reviews, I find, you know, people will have a real issue because they can't seem to understand that it is a character. It's a work of fiction. It's something in a novel. It's creative. It's not someone's personal, it's not necessarily someone's personal experience or their personal view. And generally conversations around topics like this always bring up those arguments of like author versus novel, you know, death of the author. How do we disentangle those things? You know, is the author a perv, you know? And it's like, actually, probably not, you know, it does.
But then that's the difference, isn't it? Between what Mary Gaskill did with This Is Pleasure and what Kate Elizabeth Russell is doing with My Dark Vanessa is that one of these stories is a well-written, gripping story that asks some really bold questions.
And the other, the victim as we would perceive it.
And then, you know, the other feels like an elaborate, it's like tarting up the author's own kind of propaganda, slightly dodgy opinion.
And it's interesting, you know, you mentioned about kind of getting, you know, rejected by so many agents, and this is sort of, now is the time. Kind of like what we said about In the Cut as well, you know, it's been around for years, and it's this sort of moment it's speaking to that it gets this reissue and blows up, and it's so important where you when a book is published as to how its success, I guess, as well.
And I also think, you know, as much as what we kind of talked about in the last episode was feeling like if you don't read something as soon as it comes out, there's no point in reading it. But I feel like with this book, more than any other book around at the moment, if you don't read it when it comes out, you're going to be so like, there's just going to be so much discourse about already is, and it's just a bit annoying. And yeah, basically, I feel like this is one of those books where you need to read it as soon as possible.
I feel like it's going to be, like, in 2016 we had The Girls, like, last year we had Normal People. It's going to be, like, the book that everyone is reading and talking about over summer. And it comes out the end of March. Quick plug, if I may.
Please.
On March the 30th, I'm going to be interviewing Kate at Waterstones Gower Street for part of her UK launch tour. So, yeah, if you're based in London, come along. We'll have some wines and do some chat. Bethany will be there. You're invited, Jordan.
More than that, I'm going to come. So
I've got,
yeah, come and get your meet and greet tickets. Meet and greet after the signing.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yeah. I love it. I really hope other people love it. And I hope people don't get too bogged down in the like hype machine and then the inevitable backlash against the hype machine.
Yeah, it's so true.
And it's just inevitable, isn't it? It's literally like... Yeah. A book is good, people say the book is good, then people say the book is bad because too many people say the book is
people
good.
People well actually it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and the fuckery around the hype machine is that all the conversations happening around it are generally people who haven't read it, who have a feeling against it, or have read one article which has swayed an opinion, and
or
it's like...
Or annoyed they didn't get a proof, as we saw happen with Normal
yes,
People.
Oh my
god.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting one. I'm definitely on my list, I'm looking forward to reading it, and yeah.
Tell me about the one I was actually going to say was In the Dream House.
Yes.
Have you guys read that one yet?
I haven't. My
I know you haven't.
Good pal Terry Jane Dow, quick little shout out. She she's read it and absolutely raved over it and said it's Everyone's so raven. Clever.
I really
honestly, it just took my breath away. Like, I was expecting to like it. I enjoyed her body in other parties, apart from the Law and Order story, which is the Marmite.
This is by Carmen Maria Machado. Yeah. Just FYI.
Mm. Yeah, just in case. But it's out. This one is out now. It came out like in the first week of Jan in the UK. And God, it just, it's the story. It's a memoir. It's a story about her, an abusive relationship that she was in. But each chapter uses a different literary device to examine an aspect of their story together. So it's just so creative. The chapter's like super short. It just completely blew me away.
Maybe
she's
I will
just
go
a genius.
To a bookshop and I will buy The Topeka Score by Ben Lerner and I will buy In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado.
You cannot go wrong.
I know. I'm
you
just,
cannot go
yeah,
wrong.
I'm hyped for both of them. Yeah, just that this is another book where like the public opinion is so strongly.
Yeah.
It is great. And I'm, hyped to read it.
And I'm really glad it is. And I'm glad people are shouting about it because I didn't mind Her Body in Other Parties. It didn't... I don't know. I know it's rewriting a lot of kind of other tropes and a lot of other kind of fairy tales and kind of feminist short stories. But I felt that, you know, what I got from it, I got from other books I'd read previously. And I think I maybe need to... I really want to actually reread it once I've read In the Dream House in a slightly different context.
Yeah.
Because I think I maybe read it at the wrong time. But I think without this sort of... Not really hype, but people just really praising it and kind of really shouting about how formally innovative it is. I think that has made me turn back onto her a little bit, you know, as opposed to writing her off.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Her Body, we talked about Her Body in other parties on the pod. I feel like when it's good, it's great.
Mm.
Jordan, what's your... there's only one question about Her Body in other parties, yeah. Which is... Do you love or do you hate the Law and Order?
Oh God, I can't remember it. You know, I read what? It so
Mate.
Long ago.
It's
what happens
one,
in
it's,
it?
It's the one... Wikipedia one that's basically plot summaries of a made-up TV show that's kind of like...
Law oh, Order. Yeah, no, I just...
No, it's real Law and Order character. It's
really?
Literally using real Law and Order characters.
Are you serious?
Yes, 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 yes. This isn't
God.
Made up. So she's using real Law and Order characters and potentially plots, but to... do something else.
So maybe that's the key to that story, is that people who love it know Law and Order well enough to understand it. It just went over my head. I found it
I've never watched
difficult.
Law and Order
yeah.
and I hated it. And so maybe that's the...
Yeah, I don't remember that was one that stuck out as something great. So.
It's like a long story. I feel like...
Yeah.
Yeah, you may well have skipped it if it's left you.
I had to skip
with
it.
No
was,
opinion.
Because I read
yeah.
the proof, so probably like a good 8 or 9 months before it even came out. So
yeah,
this is
yeah.
like years ago I read it now. But I remember finishing it and just being a bit like... I was so excited for this, and it's kind of left me a bit flat, but again, I think, you know, as I said on the last pod, it's always about the emotion you bring to a book as well, which often changes your experience, so I do want to repurchase it and read it in relation to In the Dream House and, you know, see what they're doing
That's
together.
That's the thing, I feel like, I mean, as I said, I did enjoy Her Body in Other Parties, but In the Dream House, like, considering it's such a troubling subject matter, and it's really hard to read in that regard, like... She's just brought something so fresh to the table. And also, I mean, Christ, there isn't... It's not like we're, like, drowning in literature about abusive queer relationships. And it's, I know, something that a lot of people feel, like, too much of the kind of popularized queer art, like, movies as well as literature, focuses on quite negative stuff.
Mm.
There's still really important stories to tell.
And there's areas of negative stories that are an unmined mine, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is maybe one of those areas. So, I can't wait.
Yeah, and I think that from having seen a physical copy and hearing people speak about her, it sounds like she's queering the queer in that sense. She's queering the form as well as telling this queer story. And I think that's what seems to make it really engaging, is that, you know, you can tell this story of trauma. And, you know, they are kind of told a lot of time in various cultural mediums, be it film or art, but actually to do it in this way where you are even queer in the memoir form or the typical forms of nonfiction, it just seems to... That's kind of what's bringing it alive.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Basically, it's already out and it's already huge, but it's worth noting.
Yeah.
It's a notable 2020 release.
Just because it's already come out doesn't mean it's not an exciting 2020 release.
I think the next book that I'm super excited for is Rest and Be Thankful by Emma Glass.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know a huge amount about it because I'm excited and I don't want to read anything about it until I've read it. But Emma's debut, Peach, was out, I think, 2018.
Years ago,
about 2018. And I kept seeing it in place and was like, yeah, maybe give it a go. You know, it's a small hardback. It's about 10 quid. Don't want to part with this cash. And he did part with the cash. And,
and Rita,
it was,
he did.
It was amazing. You know, like I said on the last episode, it was one of those books that I just kind of read in one go. And so you're just so immersed in it. And it's just this amazing conceptual novel which deals with issues of sexual violence in a really, really interesting, forward-thinking way. And I don't necessarily think Rest and Be Thankful it follows that suit. But I thought she's just one of those writers that I'm going to keep watching and seeing what she does.
Yeah,
because
I
was
like
blown away by it.
Peach excited me because it was the kind of writing that you don't necessarily share. You know, like,
yeah,
it felt like experimental. It felt heady,
messy,
trippy,
yeah,
messy, drunk. Like, yeah, she kind of, I think she did, she was working as a nurse and wrote a lot of it, like, after long shifts, exhausted, after some glasses of wine. And you could kind of feel that in the novel. Like, it's not asking to be, like elevated, you know? Like, I don't know. It's very, for something so experimental, it's very easy to read. And I enjoyed that about it. Like, it's very unpretentious.
Maybe it's then, it kind of sounds similar to the In the Dream House, in a sense of, you know, it's dealing with a really tough subject matter, but in a super playful way.
And I
think that, you know, it helps to understand that subject matter maybe more, but, you know, open up different ways of talking about it.
I hear you.
Mm.
I definitely read it, even though I didn't read Peach.
Speaking of, what was it called again?
Rest and Be Thankful.
Yeah, speaking of things that are restful, author of my year of rest and relaxation, Atessa Moshfegh, has a new novel out this year. I'm desperately trying to find what it's called.
While you're looking for
Death in Her Hands.
Oh, cool. Yes, and it's got quite a cool cover.
Mm. Yeah.
With, like, the long, like, the letters.
It looks, yeah.
Yeah.
I like Emma Glass's cover is Ophelia. It's a painting,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
Which, to me, it, like, immediately made me think of Atessa Moshfegh. So I'm hoping that that's
they
intentional
nice little,
and there's, like, a Tessa vibe to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm also incredibly excited for Death in Her Hands. I'm fucking stoked.
Yeah, because I loved my year of rest and relaxation. Really enjoyed the short stories. Wasn't too on board with Eileen.
In this house, we love Eileen.
Well, I'd, yeah.
Jordan,
okay, maybe I'm taking
get
that
out,
back.
Get
no,
out.
But I did. I preferred my year of rest and relaxation, but I think she's a brilliant writer.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think I would struggle to put a pin between Eileen and my year of rest and relaxation.
I'd always go
okay
for Eileen.
I thought
yeah
that
that's
I never thought that anything would beat Eileen, and she I don't know. I don't know.
So for people listening at home who do not already know this news, I feel like it hasn't really penetrated into the wider lads circle, but my favorite working film director, Yorgos Lanthimos, who made Dogtooth, which I think Jordan either referenced off the record. No,
yeah,
off the record. We were talking about something completely different.
Yeah, yeah,
between.
Yeah, yeah.
So he made Dogtooth and The Favourite and Killing of a Sacred Deer. He is adapting My Year of Rest and Relaxation.
Bloody
that is
hell.
Yeah, his next project. And as much as I would love to see him go back to making original stuff like Dogtooth, I feel like I'm beyond thrilled to see what he does with My Year of Rest and Relaxation. So that's just a little nugget for the lads at home.
I didn't know that was happening.
Well, that's what I thought. I feel like I know about this, but I know a lot of people do not know about this. And it's not like I know about it through some, like, illegal back channel, but
yeah,
I just feel like...
No, didn't it come up, like, it was a really strange, like, little... I can't remember what it was. I remember someone sharing a screen cap where it was just, like, a strange little side note in an article
in Variety
or something else.
Or something,
yeah, and
yeah,
it was like, why the fuck isn't this bigger news?
Yeah. Why isn't it front page of The Guardian?
Why isn't the bookseller covering it? Come on!
Yeah, because that's odd, isn't it? Because normally, I know from my perspective as well, as soon as film rights sell or TV rights, it's the biggest thing the publisher shouts about because it's a whole other audience you're going to reach, and then we get those glorious TV tie-in covers.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'm surprised I hadn't heard about that.
So yeah, that's. Oh, I feel like it's
I'm jazzed.
Good
yeah
news. I love him. I love Yorgos Lanthimos. I will watch anything he does, and I feel like, what a cool little
yeah your
duo.
Finger's on that pulse, isn't it?
My finger is in that pie.
Well.
So something else that is coming out this year, we're in the future now, is a really cool and weird book called it used to be called The Discomfort of the Evening by Marika Lucas Reinvelt. It seems to be now called The Discomfort of Evening, and she refers to it as that. The proof is called The Discomfort of the Evening. I'm not sure which way it's going, but either
way. How strange.
Yeah, it is strange. So Marieke Lucas Reinewald is like 28. She is Dutch. This book is the lead debut for Faber. She is a dairy farmer in the Netherlands. That is what she does. And she has also written this book. And it is about her brother dying in a skating, like he drowns, falls through the ice and drowns while skating. And that happens very early on. And then the rest of the book is this kind of descent into kind of madness.
Ooh,
in this
God.
Very isolated and poor farming community who are very religious in the Netherlands. So she's in this family. She's got two other living siblings and her parents are very like strict, and obviously their life is very hard because they are farmers and they have like no money. And yeah, it's just this, it's told from the point of view of a girl who's about 11. And yeah, it's really wild. It's really, really, it's not the wildest book I'm going to talk about today, but it is up there.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah. And yeah. I think it's really cool that the lead debut for a publisher like Faber is a book in translation.
It has a great cover as well.
Oh, the
grey
with
the red coat. Yeah. Because I've got a proof. It's one I need to get to very soon, but I've, yeah, heard great things. And Bethany, I haven't read it. Is it biographical? Is that kind of element coming through?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, based on stuff in it, I would say it is probably not autobiographical. I think in terms of the knowledge of the farming world, that will definitely be from her life. But there's so many things in it that you're like, really hope none of this is true. So yeah, I would really, really recommend it. I loved it. It was the first book I read this year, and I loved it.
Straight on the horse of the 2020 title.
Or straight on the cow, as is. And it's also another really, I feel like something I'm enjoying quite a lot is when you start reading a book and it is not set now, and you're like, why is this set then? And then it becomes apparent during the book why it is set then. Much
almost,
like my year of...
I was going to say, almost every reason is because of 9/11. But
not in this case. Yeah. It's actually, this is not a 9/11 one. But yeah, there's like an event in it that I had basically forgotten about, which is interesting because if it affected you, you would never have forgotten about it. But I had managed to forget about it completely, even though it happened in my lifetime. So yeah, really strongly recommend... what are you talking about?
I think I was just mouthing what I think
he is. I caught Jordan's eye and he mouthed it. And I was like, oh my God, I did forget about that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, please go forth and read The Discomfort of the Evening. The Discomfort of the Evening, whatever it ends up being called. I hope it pops off. It really deserves to. It's really imaginative and wild. And like, I have never read a book like that.
So, it's had some great press as well already. It's been on a lot of roundups and around.
It really
things.
Did well in the Netherlands, so I hope it does well here.
Yeah.
Alice, you got one for us?
I'm just trying to decide
whether you do or don't.
Okay, so most of mine on my list are books from authors that I've read before, rather than debuts. So just because I feel like I'm in safe hands.
We've been burnt before.
But yeah, so Sophie McIntosh has a new one out this year called Blue Ticket. I don't really know anything about it, but I will read literally anything she writes. So I'm
really jazzed
about
that. In my
mind,
it's The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, even though it's obviously not. Just from the title, I'm like, it's The Lottery.
Yeah. I did that with I completely forgot the name. Watercure. I did that with Watercure. It's very Dogtooth.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's just Dogtooth in a book.
I haven't seen Dogtooth.
It's amazing. It's a great film.
Well, I like
it. It's easily in my top 10 of the last 10 years.
It's great.
Okay. And do you watch Stathlet's Flats, my favourite TV programme of recent years? Well, it has a character, it has an actor from Stathlet's Flats in it, in a role that could not be different to his role in Stathlet's Flats.
Is it the man with the energy drink?
No, that's Jamie Dimitri. That's the lead actor.
I don't fucking know. I don't know people's names.
You watched Fleabag?
Yes,
he was in Fleabag.
Oh, yeah, with the teeth.
Yeah. Anyway, watch Stathlet's Flats and watch Dogtooth. They're both great.
Mm. So yeah, I think if you like The Watercure, you would definitely like Dogtooth.
Yeah.
All right.
Similar vibes.
I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't actually know anything about Blue Ticket other than the fact that I trust Sophie McIntosh
to write
my time.
A banging book.
Yeah.
Me too. I really love her online presence as well. I think she's a great one on Twitter.
Yeah, because she's just not too much.
no, and she's engaged, and she will, you know, respond to people, and she'll answer her DMs, and not that I just go around.
He's sliding into people's DMs.
No, you know, if I ever have messaged to say how nice the book was or whatever, you know, she just seems to be super responsive, engaged. I know, what can I say? Always pushing. But yeah, and I also like that they've kind of standardised the cover, so it's kind of got a similar link to Watercure, which I think people want, you know, in this day and age where people like to collect books, those bibliophiles amongst us. It's nice that they're kind of, you know, mirroring each other.
Yeah, it is a good cover. What else have you got on your list, Jordan?
I've got a couple more. I think the next one I'd like to talk about is out in June by Andre Barber? Who did Such Small Hands, which was a title by Portobello Books, which is now simply Granta. Which is a really chilling, really small novella set in an orphanage about a doll. And it's great as someone who loves strange dolls and things. It's right up my street, and he's got a new book out called A Luminous Republic. The cover's very exciting. It has lots of eyes in trees.
Cool.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think it follows a similar thing. It seems to be about childhood. Seems about grief, maybe a bit about war as well. I've not really read huge amounts into it, but it's one that's kind of top of my list to really get hold of a copy for next year.
I'll read that.
It looks really
I really
cool.
Like Such Small Hands. I think I wish that the I felt like it only really it bloomed at the end, you know, with the game that the children play. I wish that the whole book had that vibe. Energy.
And then it kind of feels like a cultish or ritualistic. And it kind of builds that feeling, doesn't it?
But it really does. By the end, it really does knock you for six. I trust him.
And it's based on a real event, isn't it?
That also.
We love it.
Yeah.
Chilling.
We love people doing horrible things.
Yeah, especially children.
Yeah, can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
What you got?
So I'd say probably my last book that I have read that I'm going to go on the record as advocating for of the year. It's not out for a very long time. I didn't realise quite how long it wasn't out for. Not out till October, but it is Earthlings by Sayaka Murata, which I have brought with me to give to Alice today. So hopefully soon you will read it.
So I literally had just said, I can't remember if I said it on record or off record, but I just said, I'm really going to try and read proofs closer to the time that they come out. Cannot wait with this one. I loved Convenience Store Woman so hard.
Who didn't?
Who didn't? Yeah.
Only a wrong ending.
Show me someone who didn't love that book and I will show you a liar.
Yeah. So, Earthlings. Earthlings is genuinely one of the craziest books I've ever read. It is like Convenience Store Woman, but also not like anything I've ever read in my life. There are things in this book I have never read in another book. If that is not a good endorsement... I don't know how to sell a book to you. It's really...
Sold.
Yeah. It's weirdly... So the first two books I read of 2020 were both books in translation told from largely from the point of view of children. So this book, at least half of it really, is from the point of view of the protagonist when she's like 9, 10, 11. And then part of it is from her as an adult. I don't want to like say too much about the plot, but it's really...
The thing is, I do feel like with a book like Earthlings, I haven't even read it yet, but just off the back of Convenience Store Woman, it's like you don't need to be sold the plot to be on board with the book.
Yeah.
It could literally be about fucking anything, and I would read it.
So like very loosely, in the beginning, it's about a girl and her cousin who meet once a year at this... I assume it's like a religious ceremony that takes place at their grandfather's house. And she believes that the male cousin believes he is an alien. And the female cousin, who doesn't? The female cousin is generally like a bit of a misfit, but has this like kind of stuffed toy that she thinks has come from another planet. And they have this very strong bond that plays out in a strange way. And then, has lasting effects on their lives. Do you see how hard it is to even tell even vaguely what the story is about? And her mind.
Is it realist? So is it, it doesn't kind of fall into genre. It kind of stays very real.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes it more interesting, I think, rather than like an alien teddy bear.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I'm really jazzed.
Yeah.
October, how will we last?
But yeah, I was just so
happy.
I'll be
fine because I have a copy.
Yeah, yeah. You'll manage.
I'm trying to be relatable.
Yeah. It was just such a pleasure to watch how much Convenience Store Woman popped off, because it was so deserved. So I really hope the same thing happens. I feel like, you know, the people that bought and read Convenience Store Woman will buy and read this book. And then I hope that from the way people end up talking about this book, that other people who didn't read Convenience Store Woman are like, I got to get a piece of this.
Yeah.
And I think what I loved about Convenience Store Woman from a publicity point of view was that, you know, when they published the trade paperback with the nice little French flaps, you know, when they did that and it was huge, it was everywhere. And then when they did the really nice blue, yellow and pink.
The pastel. Yeah, the pastel. Yeah. With the soy sauce fish bottle.
Yeah, smaller paperbacks, it's still... And, you know, this is a book that was out over a year ago now, for the... Maybe even two, actually, for the earlier edition. It's still on tables, in foils, in Waterstones. Yeah. It's still on displays. And, you know, we spoke a bit about before... in the last episode, and maybe even before that, over breakfast, we spoke a bit about books kind of, you know, losing a shelf life, or, you know, just becoming a bit stale after a few months and losing favour. But this book seems to be one that's still on displays. It's still being recommended. It's still... out there and being read in places, and I think that hopefully that will carry the next one, you know, into the future with success.
Agree. Alice, you got anything?
Yes, I do. So I'm also really looking forward to this. Is actually non-fiction, but I really, really loved Sweet Bitter by
Stephanie Danler,
and she has a memoir coming out this year called Stray, that's out in May. I just loved Sweet Bitter so much. I feel like, I think it was Blair of Learn This Phrase. It was in her books of the decade. Yeah. Like, I think it can be a little bit Marmite-y. I think it's not necessarily everyone's cup of tea. I freaking loved it. And yes, Dre's a memoir. I would read anything that she put out, though. Like, she's one of those authors that, like, I just trust. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. And also, in a very similar vein, Jamie Attenberg has All This Could Be Yours coming out this year.
Mm.
Which I think also might be nonfiction. But yeah, Jamie Attenberg wrote...
All Grown Up,
yeah.
And Jamie's doing an event with Evie Wilde, I think, at Waterstones Gallery Street, which looks fucking exciting.
Oh, wait, yeah, I think... is Irenison Okoje chairing that?
I'm not sure. I thought you were going to say, oh, wait, I'm chairing it then, which would have been even funnier.
No, I think that I just automatically bought tickets to it because Irenison's chairing. Okay. I was like, that'll be a good time.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking of the right event.
It looks quite an exciting one.
I just remembered a book that's coming out in 2020 that I'm excited about.
Yeah,
tell us.
It's called Melt My Heart by Bethany Rutter.
That's me. It's a me.
It you, but okay,
yeah.
Tell us about your book.
I haven't really learned how to like talk about it yet. I'm very bad at knowing how to talk about books, even if I haven't written them, and even worse, knowing how to talk about them if I have.
Lucky we have a podcast in which we talk about books.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's another standalone YA. It's not a sequel to No Big Deal. It's out on the 23rd of July. It's set in the summer before our main character goes to university, and she kind of feels like her life is not really in her control, and about trying to wrestle control back over the direction that her life is going in. And that's how I can encapsulate it.
I can't wait
for this pod. I hope it's good. I hope it's, yeah, I never really know. I was surprised by how much, very pleasantly surprised by the way that No Big Deal seemed to resonate with people, and I hope that I am again pleasantly surprised by this one.
Great cover as well.
Yes.
Gorgeous cover.
Beachy.
Yeah.
So I've been very lucky with the designer at Macmillan is called Rachel Vale. She's a genius. And then the human illustrations on the cover are done by Chris Atomic, who is an amazing illustrator that I know from Live Journal, which is the same place that I met Alice
me.
Yeah, I've been really lucky. The covers work really well together, much like the Sophie McIntosh covers. Obviously they are in every way similar to those books. But yeah, so that's my summer baby. My little Leo child, just on the cusp.
I have a little Gemini coming. I've edited a short story collection, an anthology for Three of Cups Press. It's called Outsiders. It's going to end up as 13 stories with a foreword written by Irenison Okoje.
That's me kissing my fingers like an Italian chef.
Yeah.
If you can't see the fingers, it just sounds like I'm kissing.
And I feel like every time I try and give a list of who's in it, I feel bad that I might forget someone, so I'm not going to do that. You can see it online, and you can pre-order it at the Three of Cups website, but it's going to bang.
It is going to bang.
And the list is amazing.
Yeah. The list the is, if I do the, say so myself.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
You've done a stellar job of rounding up the bangers, the true short story bangers of the current age.
Yeah. And a great list of maybe more known short story writers, maybe some newer writers, and then some hot young things fresh out of the
Because I did an freshly baked
freshly baked
I did an open call, so although I've commissioned 10 stories, I've also got slots for people who've submitted stuff, and so there's definitely going to be at least some authors that haven't had their own collections out yet. It's quite exciting, like it's an opportunity that I would fucking love, you know, like to have work published alongside people like, to name a name, you know, like Julia Armfield, Ellie Williams. It's exciting.
And what a cool thing for you to be able to do for someone. Like, you give them a platform like that. That's so cool.
It's my dream.
I love it. I literally love it.
Living my dream 2020.
Yeah. I feel like you really will be living your dream 2020.
Oh, thanks,
I feel
mate.
Like this is the year of the Slater.
Yeah, it's like the year of the rat also. The year of me. Do we have any other books that aren't shameless plugs? Oh, okay, I actually do have a debut that I'm excited about, if I can just bring it back onto me again. Boy Parts.
By Eliza Clark.
Eliza Clark.
I know nothing of Boy Parts.
You're not allowed to talk about it.
No, it's a book that I'm working on with Influx Press, so I'm Eliza's publicist, and it's brilliant, but I'm...
But that's not why I brought it up. I'm genuinely curious about it. Eliza is hilarious on Twitter, and she's reading a Tessa Moshfegh right now, My Year of Rest and Relaxation, and she was like having this kind of like existential crisis that her book is quite vibes along well with a Tessa Moshfegh, and I was like, mate, that is only a good thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
That makes me even more excited. Yeah.
And I feel that's partly my problem, because I keep, once I haven't read the manuscript of Boy Parts, I keep thinking of what, again, thinking about what it's speaking to and what it is. So I'm like, you know, Eliza, have you read this? Have you read this? Have you read this? And keep sending her things. So yeah. I feel I'm just fueling the her poor insecurities here. But I think it's good, you know, to get a, you know, the fact I think it's like a Tessa is only a good thing.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, obviously, you can't have read everything.
No.
And I think that if you have written a book that sits alongside something as, like, beloved as My Year of Rest and Relaxation, although I guess, like, obviously, a Tessa Moshfegh herself, like, she's quite a controversial character.
She's not quite Lionel Shriver controversial, but she's more like Lucy Ellman controversial.
Yeah, she doesn't mind saying stuff that she knows will rub people up the wrong way. But yeah, if you've ended up writing something that can sit alongside a book like that,
while
like,
also being like
fucking
a cool,
good on ya.
Like Eliza is cool and not like gratuitously, you know, contrary. Which I feel like, you know, maybe Tessa Moshfegh and Lucy Ellman are. So you know, good for her. She's hilarious.
Yeah, she really is. I hope that Eliza listens to this and feels really awkward.
No, she'll just be delighted. We're saying nice things about her.
Yeah, and it's a really exciting book to work on, as are all the books I'm working on this year.
This is why we can't talk about too many too many books that Jordan is working on, because then Jordan will feel bad that he's not talking about all the books he's working on. So
but
that's why
is,
we wanted to bring up this book that we communally are looking forward to as a pod. Whether Jordan was here or not, we, as Alice and Bethany, are very looking forward to Boy Parts by Eliza Clark. We think it's going to bang.
That's our official disclaimer.
Yeah, and maybe we can have her on the pod.
Who knows?
If we're very good, Jordan.
Yeah, I think so. That would be a laugh.
Do you have any more that you'd like to, or shall we...
Yeah, I think the last one I want to mention is by Akweke Emezi.
Yep.
The author of Freshwater, if anyone read that, and Pet, which is a YA novel. I read Freshwater a couple of years ago when it came out, and I can't really describe how amazing I find this book, but I think, again, buzzword seems to be transgressive, but I think it's transgressive. It's formally innovative. It's dealing with a whole host of complex issues. It just blew me away. I think it's one of the best books I've ever read, and I just like recommend it to everyone. And they have a new book coming out called The Death of Vivek Oji, I think, which is out in August. I don't know too much about it, but it does seem kind of set aside from Freshwater. It doesn't seem too similar. But I love the author on Twitter. I think they're amazing. They're super engaging. And I fucking can't wait till August. It's, you know...
I feel like I need to put Freshwater on... When I go toddle off to the bookshop to buy the Topeka Score, to buy In the Dream House, I'm also going to buy Freshwater.
Yeah.
Add it to the list. I also haven't read it yet. I do have a copy. I just haven't got around to it.
Yeah.
Again, it's like one of those books, I guess, like as we were talking about in the last episode, I felt like I missed it. And then I'm like making it my business to just go back and read these like key titles that I missed. So add that to my list.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
So I just remembered there's three books I want to give a quick shout out to, and then also one that is that we might want to talk about in more detail. The one that we might want to talk about in more detail is Daddy by Emma Klein. Finally, something.
She's back.
She wrote The Girls. We all loved it. I felt like we've talked about The Girls in our Books of the Decade, talking about, like, it felt like a real moment where everyone was Instagramming it. I felt like I found lots of lads, like book lads, through love of this book. So yeah, I'm really fucking excited about Daddy. I don't know anything about it. I just know it's called Daddy, and that alone excites me. I want to appropriate the word daddy.
But I think you're right. It definitely was this kind of, even if just online, this kind of like cultural moment where people were engaging, getting hyped over it. And I think often that hype and interest can influence how you read it, but also the excitement around a book is so important. Because controversial opinion, I much preferred Marlena by Julie Bunting. And Julie Bunting, sorry. And I would kind of say they sit alongside each other when they came out dealing with similar things. And that didn't have the similar hype. But whenever anyone's like, oh, I love The Girls, I'm like, you need to read Marlena.
No, I agree. Like, we were big fans of Marlena on the pod. I felt like they were both, because it was a really beautiful summer. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't like a massive heat wave. It was just a beautiful, long summer. And they're both, like, hot weather books.
Yep. What year was it?
2016.
Okay, yeah. Yep.
4 years ago.
Yeah, man. That's wild, isn't it? I remember you, Bethany, Instagrammed a picture of herself in Lloyd Park reading it with sunglasses on. And I loved the photo so much, I reposted it on my own account.
Seems like the kind of thing I'd do.
And we weren't even brothers then. We were just friends.
We were mere acquaintances. tell us your other
So the other ones, I just realised, like, because we probably need to wrap up soon, but Ellie Williams has The Liar's Dictionary coming out.
Yes.
So excited for that. I loved Atrib. I love Ellie. I love the way that her brain works. I'm really jazzed for that.
She's the most delightful person in the whole world.
God, she's so delightful.
Every time we talk about any Ellie Williams production, I have to say how delightful I think she is.
Yeah.
No regrets.
Also, incredible reader. If you have the opportunity to see her at an event, hearing Ellie read her work is just a delight. Like, she just brings it to life in such an amazing way. Considering, like, she's not all like bells and whistles. No. It's just such a pleasure to hear her read.
Or gongs.
Yeah, bells, whistles, and indeed gongs.
That's an in-joke, in case you didn't listen to the last episode.
Which you did, because everyone listens to all our episodes.
Exactly. And then also, just quickly, Daisy Johnson, her sister, coming out this year. Really excited about that. Dark book about sisters. I'm into it. And Megan Hunter has The Harpy coming out as well. Megan Hunter wrote...
The
End We Start From. What a great little post-apocalyptic jaunt. I'm excited
about The Mercies by Ciaran Millwood Hargrave, which is Ciaran's first novel for grown-ups.
Yeah, I'm really jazzed about that.
She is the goodest of eggs, and I'm interested in whatever she wants to do. So I'm going to read that soon. It's on my little TBR pile.
All right, and just scanning through, I just realised there's one more that you're probably excited about. Our Little Cruelties, Liz Nugent has a new book.
I asked Jordan for a pen earlier, and then I did not write down the thing that I was going to write down, which was to talk about Our Little Cruelties.
Have you read it yet?
Interestingly, I read it as a sensitivity reader.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
So I read it as a Word document, which is not the optimal way to read a book. But it's so good. She's just great. Like, she really knows how to, like, construct a life story and construct horrible people doing, you know, like, low-level horrible things to each other.
So what is... Sum it up for me, please, Bethany. So it's no clue about this.
Do you know about Liz Nugent?
No, I don't think so.
Skin Deep.
Skin Deep.
And that... Yeah, that's really my favourite book of recent years. I'd recommend it to pretty much anyone. It has everything in it that I love. Horrible stuff. People doing horrible stuff. Horrible stuff. End of list. She's an Irish author. She writes things that sit close to thrillers but are not really explicitly thrillers.
I think, like, there's been a choice to market her as a thriller writer. Which makes sense, but...
Because I don't know how
her work is doing a little bit more than that.
Yeah. Okay.
Not to in any way disparage thrillers because I love them, but
it's
I feel like...
It's just not as plot-heavy. Yeah. It's not as, like...
Hook-based.
Yeah, hooky as a thriller would be. She is amazing. And this new book is about, like, three brothers growing up in Ireland who variously do horrible things to each other throughout their lives.
This sounds perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, it has like a fat character in it, and Liz just wanted me to check it out.
Love that.
Yeah, that's good.
Good shit.
Really good shit. She's a good egg.
Yeah.
I really like her. Good to see
more representation
of the chub.
Yeah. Chub rep.
Yep. Nope, it's great. And yeah, I would have shouted it out had I written it down.
All right. I got you.
Thank you so much for getting me.
You are welcome.
So if anyone didn't know that Liz Nugent has a new book out, then now you know.
All right. Should we call time on this one?
Yeah. So
should we go and have a gossip sesh in the pub?
Yeah.
Share all our secrets.
Yeah, I think so. I spilled all mine already, so...
Jordan, you are at George Taylor Jones.
I am. That's everywhere. Me. Yeah, everywhere. Come and find me.
Yeah.
Have a chat.
You will chat. You will chat.
Yeah, I chat with everyone.
He DMs people.
Yeah, I do.
Not just Sophie McIntosh.
Yeah, not just Sophie McIntosh.
You know where to find us.
Yeah, we're around.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.